Well, good morning to you all, and a very warm welcome to our worship this morning. As always, whether you're here with us in the church, watching online at home, or joining us later on the social media, a very warm welcome, and we pray that God will bless us all as we share worship together, however we do that. Intimations for the week ahead. The Guild meeting, a reminder that the Guild meeting, which had been planned for this coming Tuesday, has been cancelled. It's to do with COVID regulations. We're looking forward to some relaxations in the not-too-distant future, so hopefully we'll not have to announce cancellations too much again in the future. Looking further ahead, Wednesday, our two normal events on Wednesday, that is our prayer slot at 1 o'clock, when we take time out to remember to pray for the future of our church, and then at 7:30 in the evening there is our midweek chat session. Next Sunday, our morning service at 11 o'clock, and as you'll see, Breda is going to be with us, and it's the start of a new series, which is being titled Basic Christian Life Skills, and this is going to be linked to the next item, which is the start of a new series of Bible studies on Thursday the 27th, that's a week on Thursday, and the plan this time is that the Sunday service and the Sunday sermon will be a lead-in to the discussion that we'll have at the Bible study on the following Thursday. So that all starts off, as we say, next Sunday. More details about the Bible study series next week. It will be on Zoom for the moment. Two other things. Firstly, I was asked to say that there's quite a few gaps in the flower calendar, which is on the table at the back of the church. So if any of you are able to help with that, I nearly said if any of the ladies are able to help with that, but we are equal opportunities congregation, so if any of the men have got flower arranging skills, please use them for our benefit. And the final thing I would like to say is this. Unfortunately, Charlie and Sandra Dick, I don't think, are with us this morning. I've not failed to spot them, have I? They've been with us since April of last year, I think, when they moved up to Urquhart. They've become very much a part of our congregation over these months. As you'll know, Charlie is involved with the AV team and with the website, and Sandra is our church administrator. And having made themselves in reality a part of the church, I'm very happy to announce that they were formally accepted into membership at our session meeting last Thursday evening, so a warm welcome to our community, to Sandra and Charlie. Thank you.
So Jane, is Alistair one of the men that are good at flower arranging?
Yes.
I'm not. Our introit today is the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Just a warning, in the chorus, there are parts for men only and ladies only. I think some of you will be familiar with it. So when it's men only, I'll sing that line and the men can join in. And then when it comes in the ladies' part, I'll try and remember to be quiet and let the ladies sing that part as well. Our introit, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And all things were made for his glory. The mountains are his, the seas and the islands, the cities and towns, the houses and streets. Let rebels bow down and worship before him, for all things were made for his glory. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's.
the Lord's. And all things were made for his glory. The mountains are his, the seas and the islands, the cities and towns, the houses and streets. Let rebels bow down and worship before him, for all things were made for his glory. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And all things were made for his glory. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And all things were made. Yes, all things were made. And all things were made for his glory.
Our call to worship today is a selection of verses taken from Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Let us lift up our heads and open our hearts that the King of glory may come in as we worship God today. Our hymn, our next hymn, may not be well known to some of you, but its words are a lovely musical call to worship for all of us to come just as we are and to bow our knees before God and surrender our hearts, souls, minds, and strength to our God. It should be easy enough to learn, so Lauren and I will go through the chorus and the first verse so you become more familiar with it before we sing it through fully. Some of you will have heard it as you were entering the church. And when we sing it through fully, we will repeat the final chorus at half speed at the end, without the organ, as a prayerful meditation, and focus briefly in silence on its words thereafter. So we're going to try a practice.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
Think you'll cope with that. How many of you have heard it before? All right, so there's about half of you, that's fine. I won't ask you all to come up and sing together for social distancing purposes, but if you could encourage those who maybe don't know it. Thank you, Laura. Oh, a little bit of history of the song beforehand, because I loved it when I heard this story. Brian Dirksen, I think that's how it's pronounced, wrote it in 1997 when he was walking the London streets at one of the lowest ebbs in his life. He was close to bankruptcy, and his son had just been diagnosed with Fragile X syndrome. But he needed to remind himself that we could come and worship even though we have unresolved questions and life is difficult at the time, which it certainly was for him and for many people it has been, especially over the last 2 years. So that inspired him to some of the lyrics and the music for this song.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are. Tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to
Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, that the earth, the world, and everything and all who are in it are yours. May we lift up our heads and open our hearts that the King of Glory may come in as we worship you today. no matter what has gone on in our lives previously, and especially over the last week. Help us to come just as we are, and to bow our knees before you, and surrender our hearts, souls, minds, and strength to our God, Saviour, and Holy Spirit. We look forward to the day when every tongue will confess you are God, when every knee will bow in your presence, and all who have gladly chosen you will be with you eternally. Oh, what amazing grace that you, as a helpless baby, came to the earth to do the will of God, not to be served by us, but to serve, to bear the scars of sacrifice that we may live. Help us to follow you, to learn better how to offer our lives in service of you. And forgive us, Lord, when we fail you as we too often do, when we don't fulfill your word to us, when we don't honor promises made, and forgive us when we don't use the talents that we have been given by you. May your light shine brightly again in our darkest hours, and your love overflow in our lives again, that we may reflect your glory and once again live our lives in service of you, following the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. We close our prayer of worship to you in the words of our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Last week, in the scene setter, I asked you to imagine that this rope goes on and on and on forever. And I also asked you to imagine that this rope represented a timeline of our existence, and this pink bit was our time on this planet, and the rest was eternity. And I also tried to suggest that what we do here in this pink bit, the time we're on this planet, influences what happens here and here and here. So today really is the justification, the reason why I made these comments. The strapline for today, it wouldn't be complete without a strapline, would it? The strapline for today is servant or slave. Now, slaves in the time of the Old Testament or the New Testament have a very different connotation than slaves have in our understanding today. A slave in the Old Testament had authority to act on behalf of their master, and they could also trade in their master's name. So you can see that a slave is different. And a slave was very much part of that household and was looked after by the master. Now, the slave didn't get a wage. That's what happened to servants. Servants would do their job, get paid, and go home. So the question then, is it servant or slave? And as we're mulling that over, we're probably going, and of course the answer is, it's both servant and slave. We're called to be slaves of Jesus Christ, but we're also called to be servants to each other. Another comment, just as a way of introduction, One talent is worth about 20 years' wages, give or take. And one mina is about 3 to 4 months' wages. That'll make sense in a minute or two. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus, about 40 hours before his arrest, leading on to his crucifixion, told a parable. And this was, in fact, the last parable he ever told. And the audience was his disciples. It's the story of a man, a wealthy man, who gave his slaves some talents and then went off with the intention of coming back again. To the first man, he gave 5 talents. That's about 100 years' worth of wage. To the second man, he gave 2 talents. That's about 40 years' worth of wage. And to the last man, last slave, he gave 1 talent and then went off. And they really didn't know, these people, these slaves, what to do with it. So they put their heads together and had a good chin wag. And they decided that really what he had done was given them all an equal opportunity to invest. So 1, 2, 3, equal opportunity with their time until he comes back again. So the first one went off and decided, yeah, I'm just going to bury that in the ground. It's too risky. It's a lot of money. Do nothing with it. Let's just bury it. The other two had a big chat, another powwow with each other. And they decided, well, perhaps we can get some return on investment for him. So off they did and did that. The master then came back, and he asked them all to come before him and asked them what they'd done with their talents, their money. The one who had 5 talents had doubled his. And the wealthy man was delighted, and he invited the slave to celebrate in his joy. Return on investment for one. The second man, second slave, also showed a return on investment, doubled it. And the wise man was delighted and invited him to celebrate in his joy. The third one, you know where I'm going, didn't do anything with it. And as you know or can gather, the wealthy man was not impressed. And there was tragic consequences. The man became separated, he lost, and in fact he lost his association with the wealthy man. Now Valerie Moore is going to come forward and read to us where we left off last week. We were in Jericho, and Jesus was talking to the crowds. We're going to hear a similar parable. It's not the same, similar. Valerie.
This is reading, excuse me, from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, the parable of the minas. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, You take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be a king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Amen, and may God bless this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Valerie. I tell you that everyone who has will be given more, but from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Breda suggested that a parable is like a joke in two ways. It has a sting in the tail, and it also loses something if you have to explain it. And parables, therefore, are a challenge to preach on. Another problem with parables is the tendency to read too much into them, to allegorize them, that every detail means something. And therefore, it is possible to read into them far more than Jesus ever intended. So this morning, this parable comes with a health warning. And my prayer is that each one of us will hear God speaking, and he will remove any background noise that detracts from the relevance of the parable to our lives. Our reading today is titled The Parable of the 10 Minas. And this reading does not actually appear in the Protestant lectionary, unlike its close relation, the parable of the talents, which I used in our scene setter. There are similarities and differences between them, and here are just some of them. Both concern the need for good stewardship of the gifts and the abilities God entrusts us until Jesus comes again. Both act as a warning, as both have bad outcomes for bad stewardship in the world to come. Luke's parable is told in Jericho and follows on from Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. And Jesus was now only 15 miles from Jerusalem, a 6 to 8 hour walk. Jesus was in the last part of his final journey to Jerusalem to accomplish and to fulfill his messianic role that would reverse the effect of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden and offer eternal life and salvation for all who believe in him, achieved through his arrest, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and then his coming again. Matthew's parable is told a few days later on the Mount of Olives, and as I've said already, only to Jesus' immediate disciples. The slaves receive different amounts of money in the parable of the talents, and the talents can therefore be interpreted as different spiritual gifts, and material possessions, as well as different abilities. In the parable of the miners, the slaves received equal amounts of money, which can be interpreted that along with receiving different gifts and abilities, we also all receive the same gifts. I'll come back to that later. The good slaves were rewarded equally in the parable of the talents. They were invited to celebrate with the master and share his joy. Whereas in the parable of the miners, they are rewarded differently. And here I may be accused of reading too much into the parables, so I proceed with caution. I am going to suggest, be so bold as to suggest, split the definitive, boldly and go, to suggest that when God gives us different gifts and abilities, he will reward us based on what we have done with what we are given. And where God gives us the same gifts, he will reward us on how faithful we were using these gifts in advancing the kingdom of God. We'll also come back to that. So Jesus, as we know, is a master storyteller, and he anchors his parables in the lives and everyday experiences of his listeners. And the parable of the miners is no exception. However, this is the only parable that's actually based on a historical event, and it's an event his listeners would recognize immediately. About 30 years previously, Herod the Great died in Jericho. This was the same Herod who was king at the time of Jesus' birth. And there was a lot of confusion over his will, not least because he's said to have written six of them. And each of his sons felt he'd left the crown to them. One of them, Archelaus, traveled to Rome, determined that Caesar Augustus would confirm as a king. But at the same time, a delegation of Jews also went to Rome, determined to persuade Caesar Augustus not to do this, because Archelaus, like his father, was cruel and brutal. Augustus didn't give the crown to Archelaus. Instead, he made him ruler of Judea, which included Jericho, and divided the remaining territory between his other sons. So where was Jesus going with this story? The crowd thought that Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans. The crowds were marching on Jerusalem with Jesus. The expectation of Jesus' listeners were growing. Messianic pretenders had come and gone, and Jesus seemed the real deal. Jerusalem, not Rome, was going to be the new power base of the known world. The coup d'etat was imminent, only another 8 hours' walk. The kingdom of God made in the crowd's image was about to happen. Political and military emancipation. Here we come. The waiting is over. But Jesus had other ideas. Jesus tells this parable as a foil to their thinking. The kingdom of God wasn't going to happen overnight, and it was not going to happen as the crowds expected. His followers would have to work in investing his estate until he returned. And just as Archelaus had gone on a distant journey, so too would Jesus. And just as the Jews had hated Archelaus, so too they would hate Jesus. Jesus tried to tell them, but the crowd didn't want to listen. And their hallelujahs in less than a week turned to shouts of crucify him. So how do we interpret this parable? A nobleman, that's Jesus, prepares to travel to a distant kingdom, a distant country, and receive his kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. Before he leaves, he gives a single mina to each of his slaves. Now, I think I'm going to interpret mina as the same gifts that we all get. So that's our time, our lives, and in fact, what we do with the knowledge of Jesus. So before he leaves, he gives a single mina, these things, to each of his slaves. And the slaves are those associated with Jesus, who all to a degree accept who he is and that he is king. For us today, it would be those who are associated with the Christian church, and instructs them to put their money to work, be faithful with what Jesus has given them. We have these people who refuse to accept Jesus, or actually not just don't accept him, but actually go out to oppose him. And the parable leaves us in no doubt that the nobleman will return. In the last few weeks, we've been exploring some aspects of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that began with his ministry, but its culmination, its consummation, will happen only when Jesus comes again. And what we do in the pink part of the rope determines what happens in the green. Jesus will ask us to give an account of how we use our gift and abilities, our time, our life, and what we did with him, the outcome of which will either be life with him or life without him. The first group questioned are the slaves. He finds two slaves who invested their time, their life, their knowledge of Jesus wisely. To these he gave cities according to their fruit, heavenly rewards. What happened to the other seven? Good question. We're not told, so the commentators presume that they were also fruitful. The slave, those who are associated with Jesus, who do not invest the mina Jesus had given them, is reprimanded and has it taken from him and given to the slave who earned 10. I can hear you all shouting, "That's not fair." The listener certainly did. Sir, he's already had 10 minas. Especially when Jesus goes on to say, "I tell you that everyone who has will be given more, but from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So how do we equate this with Jesus' compassion for the poor, the outcast, the oppressed? Context is everything. If you read the verse out of context, it does seem unfair. But in context, each of the slaves had been given the same opportunity, one mina. Each slave had been given the same command. Two of the slaves obeyed and put their mina to work. I'm assuming the other seven did as well. But the third one blatantly disobeyed. Even if he had just put his mina in the bank and earned a little bit of interest, he would still have satisfied the master. But he didn't even do that. The slave didn't really know the nobleman. He thought he was cruel and hard. He did not obey the clear and express commands of the nobleman to trade the mina, to get a return on investment. This slave, yes, he was associated with the nobleman, but the issue is that nobleman was not his master, the lord of his life. The rich young ruler last week, alarm bells going. The slaves like the rich young ruler. He failed the first and greatest commandment: love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This slave had no intimate knowledge of God. It's a question for those who profess to be followers of Jesus. And that was the main take-home message from last week. And some commentators use this passage along with some others to suggest that there will be additional heavenly rewards according to our fruitfulness in investing our minas. I don't want to get bogged down in additional rewards in the life to come. Suffice to say, we are called to be faithful with what we are given. God will then water and cause our efforts to bear fruit. That's his job. And in the words of Psalm 16, all of us will experience fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in this life and the world to come. That's the minimum return of investment for us. Finally, there are subjects who hated the nobleman, those who accept, who don't accept, those who oppose. They're executed, judged, if you like, for the rejection of the king, the rejection of Jesus. So in summary, I think we can see that the two parables, the parable of the talents and the parable of the minas, teach us that how we live in the pink part of the rope, the here and now, influences what happens in the green part of the rope, eternity. Psalm 24 and our opening hymn teach us there is no such thing as my money, my time, my resources. It's actually all God's money, God's time, God's resources. None of us can boast in our abilities or capabilities. Everything we have been given or will be given is to advance God's kingdom and comes from God. And when we invest in advancing God's kingdom here on earth, we are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal the green part of our rope. We are simply not called to sit back and wait for the kingdom to come. That's what the third slave did. There's work to do. The servant's problem was that he had nothing with what he was given. So when it comes to living for Jesus, one should be bold and not be afraid to take risks. That's what investment is all about. We are called to be faithful. God will do the rest, including growing the fruit. So imagine there is a bank that credits your account every morning with £86,400. But it does not carry the balance over to the next day. It's a new start every day. Every night, the bank deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? If it was me, I would withdraw every last penny. And each of us has access to this bank. Its name, the name of the bank, is time. It's our one life here on earth. And every morning, this bank credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night, it writes off as lost whatever part of this you have failed to invest in advancing God's kingdom. It carries over no balance, and it allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for you. Each night, it deletes what you haven't spent. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours and God's. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present solely on today's deposit. So I think the take-home message from this parable is invest wisely each day. Following Jesus is not about waiting passively, nor is it just about enjoying the experience, but it is rather investing his estate, working hard for the Master, and he will cause the work to bear fruit. And there is, of course, the returns of investment that we've been talking about. In fact, to be precise, it's not just a return or a double return investment, it's a triple return. It's not only in the here and now, but also in the world to come. As we saw in Jesus' response to Peter last week. That's the double return investment. The triple return is that God, as we saw in the scene setter, God will celebrate his joy with you and be pleased with you forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you tell us there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear down and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. When our life on earth is done and we stand before you, may we hear the words, "My good and faithful servant." Father, we know our time on earth is short. Help us to use our time wisely, but not only our time, but also the talents and the gifts you've given us. Help us make time for you to read your word, offer our prayers, seek your will, and respond to your calling in loving service. Help us make the most of the days ahead, regardless of the season we find ourselves in, for the advancement of your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is The Servant King, hymn 374 CH4.
Thank you.
Grant Petrie will now lead us in prayers of intercession and prayers for the future. Grant.
Okay. Let us pray. For everyone born, a place at the table. For everyone born, clean water and bread. A shelter, a space, a safe place for growing. For everyone born, a star overhead. Lord, we pray that you bring peace to everyone residing in your kingdom, whether they are local or abroad. We think especially of those living in fear in Kazakhstan and Ukraine. Let there be a swift resolution to the rising tensions, and we hope that there is no escalation. May you be that beacon of hope that many are looking for. We pray for all the aid workers and charities working to provide the basic human needs that we take so much for granted, ensuring that your work is done. We also keep in our thoughts those under constant threat of natural disasters, and especially those in Japan and America on the threat of the tsunami. May we be reminded of our responsibility to help others and our duty to serve. For women and men, a place at the table, revising the roles, deciding the share, with wisdom and grace, dividing the power, for women and men, a system that's fair. We also pray for those in leadership roles within our country, especially our governments in Westminster and Holyrood. May you give them the insight, wisdom, and grace to do what is right in this turbulent time, especially in the light of the current leadership issues and challenges. May you support them in delivering the much-needed help for our society as we strive to build a safer and fairer. We also pray for the Queen and her family in her Platinum Jubilee year and take this opportunity to thank her for her years of dedicated service. For young and for old, a place at the table, a voice to be heard, a part in the song, the hands of a child in hands that are wrinkled, for young and for old, the right to belong. Be with our teachers and students on their return to education after the Christmas holidays, and hope that there is as minimal disruption as possible with the coronavirus, and ensure that they are safe in the coming weeks and months ahead. May they be renewed and refreshed with the hope of the birth of Christ that brings to us all, that was reminded to us at the Christmas. For just and unjust, a place at the table. Abuser abused with need to forgive. In anger, in hurt, a mindset of mercy. For just and unjust, a new way to live. Be with our emergency service workers in this difficult time. Give them the support that they most desperately need. We pray for our police service as they enforce the law and strive to make our society safer, whilst facing the risk of abuse for doing this. Be with our health and social care workers as they work tirelessly to care for those in our community. Be with them like you have always been throughout this pandemic. Continue to give them the support they desperately need through the ever-increasing demands that are put upon them. Please ensure that they don't become burnt out, and give them the hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, even if it feels so far away. We give thanks for the vaccination program, which has greatly improved the survival rates and reduced hospital admissions. And we pray that you inspire everyone to take up the offer. Please also be with those that are unwell, both physically and mentally. Give them the strength to undergo treatment or to live with debilitating conditions on a daily basis. Let us bring before you now, in a moment of silence, those close to us that are in need of your support and guidance. For everyone born a place at the table, to live without fear and simply to be, to work, to speak out, to witness and worship, for everyone born the right to be free. Please be with our church family in the current restructuring process. Be with the Presbytery Planning Committee as they continue to collect information that will inform the decisions that need to be made. Be with them as they discern what steps need to be taken to ensure that your will is done. But also be with each congregation as they await the decisions and give them the grace to accept and move on with whatever decisions are made. Be with our minister Breda and his family as he continues his recovery. And also be with our office bearers and elders as they work to ensure our church continues to serve our community and grow as a congregation. May we remember how lucky we are to live in a society where we can live without fear or persecution, regardless of gender, age, race, or sexual orientation. And may we continue to support those fighting to correct these injustices and ensure we are equal and safe. Be with the Faith Impact Forum as they continue to lobby and educate on these issues. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Grant. Our closing hymn, 543, Christ Be Our Light. earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace. Amen.